Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This week's family Bible story is Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It is appointed for this particular Sunday in the church year, so it will be read also as the gospel for the day in the divine service. John's gospel is noteworthy because, unlike the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it has long sections in great detail, either of Jesus preaching, in the case of this chapter 10 of John's Gospel on the Good Shepherd theme, or events like the healing of the blind man in the temple, chapter 9, or the raising of Lazarus, chapter 11. The appointed gospel reading for this Sunday, Misericordias Domini, as it is called in Latin, which is commonly thought of as Good Shepherd Sunday, is a relatively short section. But I would encourage all of you to read the entire chapter so that you can get a sense of where Jesus is going and how he utilizes the imagery of the shepherd, particularly verses 1 through 30. Before going into the reading, I want you to think about the theme of shepherds going all the way back into the Old Testament. Who was the first shepherd? The first shepherd was Abel. His brother Cain was a tiller of the ground, or the dust of the earth. So the man from the dust is the one who rises up and murders the shepherd. So the first murder recorded in the scriptures is of the murder of a shepherd. All of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were shepherds. David is the most famous shepherd in the Old Testament. He is the eighth son of Jesse, and he was tending the sheep when Samuel insisted that he be brought back to the feast in Bethlehem, where he would be anointed king of Israel. So it is the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing," that is the most beloved psalm, perhaps, in the entire Psalter. And it was composed by David the shepherd. The Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, typically appointed for this particular Sunday, also talks about God as being the faithful shepherd over against those shepherds who are unfaithful. One of the things that's important to note is how shepherds develop a relationship with the sheep, and the sheep learn to know the shepherd and to trust the shepherd's voice. So you have that in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So the image set up in Psalm 23 plays itself out very practically in the life of the church. It is why the baptized faithful are often called sheep. The divine service is the place where they feed upon their Lord, where they're led into the green pastures and the quiet, life-giving waters, and where their cup overflows with the grace of their Lord. Their pastors are the shepherds. That's what the word pastor means. And all of the pastors of the church are under shepherds, under the great shepherd, the good shepherd, who has laid down his life for the sheep. So that image of shepherd and sheep plays itself out throughout the scriptures. But then, wonder of wonders, our Lord Jesus also becomes the lamb. So as the Lamb of God, he will take away the sins of the world, bearing the sins and the punishment that the entire flock deserved. unlike the typical lamb, which would bleat and bleat and bleat when shorn of its wool. Jesus does not open up his mouth. So he is both our shepherd and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you read in chapter 10, Jesus' words, "I am the good shepherd," think about this. I am the good pastor. I lay down my life for the sheep. So we recall to mind the words of Jesus to his apostles, which are words to the apostolic ministry today, where he says, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you. If I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. If I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples." So the posture of the shepherd in Christ's church is that of the good shepherd who in sacrificial love preaches the life-giving word and who in sacrificial love is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Now, when I was growing up, I raised cows. But cows and sheep do have something in common in this sense. We could call the cows, "Cowbice, cowbice, cowbice," and they would recognize the voice and what you were saying, and they would come, assuming to be fed or to be milked and what have you. In a similar way, there's a strong emphasis in chapter 10 of John's Gospel on the voice of the shepherd and how Jesus says, "I know my sheep and my sheep know me," and then, "I lay down my life for the sheep." This is in contrast to the hireling who doesn't care one whit about the sheep. He's just in it to make a buck for himself. Jesus also says in this particular chapter that he's the doorkeeper and he is the gate into the sheepfold. You think about the words of Jesus in John 14, where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So all of these images pile up on top of one another, and it's only Jesus, the good shepherd, who defends the flock from the wolves that come in sheep's clothing to devour the flock. Only those who enter by the door, by Jesus himself, into the sheepfold, gain access to the grace of God. Well, with all of those kinds of themes in mind, John chapter 10, verse 11 through 16, is the gospel for the day. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Notice how the sacrifice of Christ is the basis for him being called the good shepherd. Self-giving, sacrificial love. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Remember what we said. You can replace shepherd with pastor. "I am the good pastor. The good pastor gives his life for the sheep." And every pastor needs to cultivate and learn that. And when the pastor conducts himself in the ministry in that way, the sheep eagerly follow him because they know that he would die for them and sacrifice himself for them so that they would live. Verse 12. "But he who is a hireling and does not and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees." So the hireling, the hired hand, only in it for himself, is willing to sacrifice nothing, but in the face of danger, runs away from the obligation to care for the flock. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. This particular verse also indicates how the sheep need to be protected. They cannot protect themselves. This is an important emphasis in the understanding of our lives as baptized Christians. We need pastors. We need shepherds. As we needed our Lord Jesus to lay down his life for us and to give us the life-giving word of the gospel, so we need his under-shepherds to teach us, to feed us, to protect us, to guard us, to keep us. Verse 13, "The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." So this demonstrates Jesus' care for his sheep in contrast to the hireling who does not care. He has no compassion or sympathy for his sheep. Verse 15, As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So here, the Son of God's intimate communion with the Father is the source of his love, for he shares the Father's nature, and his willingness in love to lay down his life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So here in the last verse, the other sheep refer to the Gentiles. So Israel, his sheep, first called, but he has other sheep too, whom he will call out of the nations, and there will be one flock, for there is one church made of Jew and Gentile alike. So Jesus is more than a faithful shepherd who cares for, feeds, and protects his flock. He died for his sheep, saving them from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Because he lays down his life for the sheep, this makes him the one and only true good shepherd. No one else cares for us like Jesus does. He has redeemed us with his holy precious blood, as we say in the second article explanation to the Catechism, and with his innocent suffering and death, and he does so that we might belong to him. He is not like a hireling, someone who does not own the sheep. Jesus loves us. He showed his love for us by dying for us. He rescued us from the devil, who is like a wolf desiring to devour us and rob us of the gift of salvation. Just as sheep are completely dependent upon their shepherd for food, drink, and protection, so are we completely dependent upon Jesus. By his word, he gives us everything that we need to feed and nourish our faith and to keep us safe from the evil one. Jesus, the good shepherd, not only made the children of Israel members of his flock, the church, but he also calls other sinners from all other nations of the earth to be members of his flock. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives the sins of me and all believers, or all the other sheep, and gives us the promise and hope of the resurrection of the body to everlasting life. So, what do we learn from this story? Number one, Jesus is like a faithful shepherd who cares for his sheep, providing them with everything that they need for their faith and salvation. Number two, Jesus is the good shepherd, unlike any other shepherd, because he dies for the sheep to make them his own and to save them from the devil's power. Number three, the one who redeemed us is the only one who can protect us from the devil, that wolf who desires to devour us. Number four, by his word, Jesus calls both Jew and Gentile alike to be members of his flock, the church. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus is our good shepherd, who laid down his life upon the cross for our salvation. Help us to know that he loves us, and to listen to his voice. Strengthen our faith in Jesus, and by his word, bring many people into the flock of the Holy Christian Church, where he daily and richly cares for us as our faithful and good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.